I think the Sex Pistols are pretty groovy. Now, they remind me a lot of Fiorello LaGuardia, you know, sure. I like the Sex Pistols, you know.
What's your favorite Sex Pistols song?
I think,
What's your favorite Sex Pistols song?
I'm trying to think right now. I haven't. Let me see. First Sex Pistols song I ever heard?
Yeah.
I guess Hot Cars.
Hot Cars.
That's a good one, yeah.
I still think we should mention again that Rocky Erickson is the guy who founded the 13th floor. There's some folks out there who don't know that, Rocky.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know...
You're going to miss me.
Yeah, you're going to miss me. I've already told you about it. You're going to miss me, you know. You're going to miss me? Oh, it's the... You're going to miss me, I guess, is about the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Pat, is that
that's... Little Tommy, I have bad news for you today. Little Tommy, I have bad news for you today. Little Tommy, I have bad news for you today. Little Tommy, I have bad news for you today. Little Tommy, I have bad news for you today. Little Tommy.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. Here we go, Brady. Question. Can I give you a hug? That is a great question. And I love that you're thinking about that. Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. At all times, drink as much milk as your... Could be chocolate milk. Could be the 2%. But the ideal is the whole milk. That's the ideal. As much as your little belly can hold.
Is it best on time?
Thank you.
Yes, Tom.
Let's start it.
I welcome you all to the show. It's time for the show to start. I apologize for the slight delay.
But if you're listening on the podcast, you don't know about no delay.
You don't know nothing about nothing with that, right?
You get the thing you want, and I bring it, and we got Mike and Pat, and Dudio ain't there tonight, but he's trying, and we're rooting for him. I think he might have the coronavirus, and it's just how it goes, and he's going to be back and better than ever, and let's get to it. And with tonight, the topic is skin crawlers. We're going to talk about those skin crawling things that make you give you the old heebie-jeebies. Because now everybody's in high alert for heebie-jeebie status. Let's do it. You want to play the theme and then we'll start the show? Yeah. How about that? Remember? Remember? How about that? Late great baseball announcer said that. How about that? And we all said, what is he talking about, right? And get it. Briette, I can't hear myself so much in the microphone. Is that in the headphones? Something I'm doing? It helps the kid hear himself bounce through his own little head. You get a southern accent. Where am I going to have from? My head. Right? Well, well, well. I want to talk to y'all about, what? No? Is that it? Southern? I guess I'm looking at Twitter. Bad news, Jack. So welcome to the best show. I'm here to do a show, not to do Twitter. Right, Mike?
Yes, sirree.
Right, Mike gets it. Mike gets it. They all don't get it, but Mike gets it.
I'm
one of my favorite things about him. He gets it.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
So tonight we got Mike on board. I'm in Los Angeles, city of the doomed, as the great Gene Clark once said. Did he say doomed?
Damned?
Why do I keep forgetting this? It's so weird that this is some mental block for me. That he sang the song Los Angeles. Go. Yeah. Los Angeles, City of the Doomed. Well, I'm here. I'm at the Forever Dog Studios. And let me say something. The Forever Dogs? If you can't hang with the Forever Dogs, get off the porch. That's just how it goes, man. They get it here. There's some pretty sweet programming.
I heard they have a porch now.
They do. They have a porch. They got everything at Forever Dog. I get it, man. I get the appeal. The LA podcast scene. And look, you throw a rock, you hit someone with a podcast out here. You don't think I know that? You go sit down to eat. It sticks a Shure SM57 in front of you. And they say, I want to know if you'll tell me your order into this microphone, because I do a podcast about food people order. But Forever Dog, they get it. And they got all the best podcasts. They got James Adomian Underclass. Underclass with James Adomian. Just saw him. It's really like the Brill Building. I ran into him. He's leaving. I'm coming in. They got Laundry Man, Brent Douglas, who his show is blowing up by all accounts. I've heard amazing things about what's going on with Brent Dinklage these days. People cannot get enough of Laundry Man. But look, I ain't concerned about James Adomian's thing. I ain't concerned about Laundry Man. I'm concerned about the best show, and that's why I step to you tonight humble. Humble, I step in front of you. And I say to you, welcome to the best show here, Jersey City. We got Pat Byrne.
Hello.
AP Mike.
How's it going, Tom?
Jason, good. Jason Dudio Gore, not on hand tonight. He is, we feel like he might have the coronavirus, and we are certainly hoping he doesn't. Now, what am I supposed to be doing with this whole thing? Because people are like, I just went and ate, right? I just went and ate at a popular eatery spot. There's nobody in there. It's a ghost town, a veritable ghost town in there. It's like, are you not supposed to eat food in places anymore? Am I doing this wrong?
No. a lot of hand washing is protocol.
Well, that I'm not doing.
Yeah.
You didn't stock up on pasta and soup all week? That's what everybody was doing. They were stocking up.
No, I didn't stock up on pasta and soup. I'm not opening an Olive Garden.
Well, then you would need breadsticks.
Yeah, I'd have to get unlimited breadsticks,
yes,
too.
Unlimited. Forever supply.
I'm telling you. I got to get to the bottom of that. Unlimited breadsticks. Really? I'm wondering, we go into training. I Kobayashi a place like that. I go in, I Kobayashi them. What are they going to do? Right? I start putting back the breadsticks. And finally, John Pignette me out of the place. They'll say, you go now. Like when he told his famous stand-up comedy routine about going to the buffet and eating all the food. They'll John Pignette me right out of the place.
Yeah, it's like
Mike, don't let them John Pignette me out.
I think it's like when you're at a casino and you hit big, and they'll let it go once, but that's it. You know, they'll say don't come back at the end of the evening.
Yeah, they don't want you.
Yeah,
but you want to know what? That's when I go. I win big at a casino. Say I win. Say I kill it on the Anchorman slot machine, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go, thank you, it's great. We'll give you the Frank Sinatra suite here. And you know what I do? I go out to my car. I say thank you. I stay in the place. Then they try to show you to a table, and they want to take all your money. I win a little more. Then they just want you out. So you know what I do? I go to my car. Then I come back in with a fake mustache.
Yeah.
A cowboy hat, like Jack Nicholson in Mars Attacks. I Mars Attacks that place, that casino. They can't handle it. They don't know what to do.
No.
I'm Mars Attacks in this jernt, right?
Yeah. Bobby Valentine did that once with the Mets.
When he got it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
When he got thrown out of a game.
Maybe the dumbest thing I've ever seen. In my life, this is an adult, a professional human in this situation. This guy Bobby Valentine, who was he was a good manager, right?
He was very good.
Is he dead?
No, he's still alive.
Well, we say to his family, we send them the condolences. The loss is palpable. We can all feel the late, great Bobby Valentine.
He's still alive, Tom.
What's that?
He's still alive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we could get one of his descendants on the show to talk about how great he was. He did not get coronavirus, though, right?
No.
That's not what checked him out.
No.
No?
No.
Well, so he goes to it. He's managing this baseball game. And again, you got to admit this, Mike. Mike loves old baseball. Old baseball Mike. There's something so ridiculous about these managers. These 60, 70-year-old, some of these guys are 80 or 90 or even older.
Yeah.
And they dress them up. It's like a Halloween costume. They make them wear what the players wear, mm-hmm. which makes literally no sense. Mm-hmm. Why are they dressed like players? Mm-hmm. So you got these sagging, these bags of laundry, right? Mm-hmm. These piles of mulch that they're pouring into these uniforms. Mm-hmm. And they're walking around dressed like a 22-year-old. Mm-hmm. Who's filling the thing out, and they look bad in it.
Yeah.
These uniforms make the players look like they got guts.
But here's the thing, Tom. It's like a work uniform.
Yeah.
You know, like guys who work in a garage, They'll wear a jumpsuit or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're out on a baseball field. What are they supposed to wear? Casual wear? Khakis? Polo
wear
shirt?
A windbreaker. Yeah, wear a nice windbreaker.
A nice windbreaker.
Wear a nice windbreaker.
In August?
Yeah, why not?
Don't work up a sweat.
Look, how would it look if in basketball, which again, the superior sport, everyone knows
well,
it.
Well, that's a different thing.
You know what I know. Yeah. How would it look if suddenly you watch it and Jeff Van Gundy or you got you what if you looked at the sideline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Picture this, Mike. You look at the sideline and you've got a coach, Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
And he's dressed in a uniform.
Yeah.
Like a play, like as if he's supposed to go out and play.
Well, it's tradition.
How dumb would that look?
Tradition comes in play here.
Tradition.
Yeah. It's a tradition.
Enough with tradition.
I mean,
Mike, tradition is why we got the Corolla virus right now. Tradition is why the world's falling apart right now. Tradition. Mike, you gotta torch this whole mess.
But why does a basketball coach have to wear a suit? Their guys are like half undressed, and then the coach is mm-hmm. overdressed.
Yeah, well, he's wearing a suit. He can wear whatever he wants.
You don't see too many casual coaches, though.
Yeah, because because they're dressing up nice, Mike. They're respecting the game.
Yeah.
Players wear suits when they're injured. They sit in a suit.
Yeah.
And then if you're not in a uniform, you're wearing a suit. That's how it goes. Yeah. No, it's not a Halloween town over there. I look at that. I feel like I'm at a Halloween superstore. I see baseball. I look over. I see what's his face. What was that? What was that guy who used to Matt Dallas?
Dallas Green.
What's his name?
Dallas Green.
Dallas Green. Yeah. You take that guy.
Yeah.
Tommy. There's this guy Tommy Lasorda. Who
yeah.
was no. just this, I don't know what you would call, he was a guy who clearly loved good food and good, he liked living. So he enjoyed all these things. And again, we send our condolences to him as well, to his family for his passing. Did him and Bobby Valentine pass away around the same point?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
I don't think so, no. I think there was a gap there.
Well, we send our condolences then. But they used to, this guy was in his 70s, and he's dressed up in this uniform. Like it's a Halloween coat. Like it's the boardwalk, and he's like it's like it's a clown,
uh-huh.
like so, a buffoon.
So, why don't you set an age limit then?
Okay.
What's the age limit?
Here's the age limit.
It's not absurd.
No. Here it is. If you're a player, you dress like a player.
Okay.
If you're a manager, you dress like a manager.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
As a kid, I always thought that the coaches in baseball had to also wear the uniform because if somebody got hurt or sick. They would put them in the game. I would love to see that.
I would love to see them play
the game of
the
baseball.
The last player.
I think they should do that. If I was running Major League Baseball, I would institute. So you know what the problem with baseball is, Mike, other than it's boring?
Mm-hmm.
It's predictable.
Predictable.
So you know what you add in?
Mm-hmm.
Some randomness, right?
Uh-huh.
At baseball headquarters, I would have some sort of like press your luck kind of like board, like beep beep boop 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 beep boop boop boop, right?
All right.
That would like just players would find out just like, oh, the computer has spoken, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the computer, they got to give like a name like Big Mama or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then it comes down. It's just like, oh, our points got doubled. Like, Big Mama, we had 3 runs. Now we have 6. Right? Or Big Mama determines that the points that the Angels got are going to go to the Mariners tonight.
So you, right? You want to create chaos in the game that, you know,
keep everyone on their toes. And then every once in a while, the supercomputer determines that, the managers have to play tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watch the only thing I like in baseball is when you see like these pitchers trying to like swing the bat and they stink.
That might be going soon. They're already talking about getting rid of that.
I like that part when the pitchers can't hit and then they're up there swinging away and they just. But then you'd get like that times 100 if suddenly you put Tommy Lasorda up at the plate, right?
Yeah, be different.
Yeah. Ugh. So anyway. This coronavirus is everywhere, apparently. I don't know 2 things about it. I don't know if I'm not supposed to, like, am I supposed to not be doing the show tonight? You know what I mean?
Me and Pat are keeping 1 foot distance. I think they say 1 foot distance is you know, the standard.
Yeah. I mean, I did ask Mike to wash his hands a couple times.
Good. Did you guys order food?
No, but he also, jury's still out. I don't know if
almost smuggled. They had a customer at Mass's brought in a huge Purell canister.
Yeah, I have a giant one at work,
and there's a black market for those now.
Yeah, well,
they're getting $20, I think.
ShopRite is. I went there last night, and they limited me. I tried to buy 4 tall cans of Lysol and 4 tubs of the wipes, along with a bunch of, you know, groceries, and they said, sorry, sir, 2 each.
Yeah, okay.
So they're limiting, yeah.
Well, first of all, this is a really great version of America we're in right now. I want to
tip my hat
to everyone who is an architect of this version of reality. Yeah, what's that?
We keep upping the ante.
Yeah.
You know, you think you've hit the wall, like it can't get any crazier. And then this arrives.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's going on? Omega.
Well, let me say this.
Omega,
Mike.
Man.
Let me say this. And Mike, listen. You don't have to, we don't need Mike talk every, I'm kidding. Mike, I'm just kidding. I don't know why I'm even picking on you. You know what it is? This is one for these nerds, right? These nerds who've taken over everything, right? Mm-hmm. You know what, nerds? You wanna do sci-fi all day long? Guess what? Yeah, you got it now. You got it, nerds. You wanna be in a sci-fi movie all day long? Well, guess what? You're in one. You nerds got what you wanted. You're so obsessed by science fiction. Well, here we are. Reality has brought science fiction home, and now you're living in one of these dumb movies you like so much. You happy?
Yeah.
You happy, nerds? You got what you wanted. I'm so tired. Every one of these nerds that moaned when Martin Scorsese moaned about Irishman, when he moaned that he didn't like Marvel movies, right?
Yeah.
And it's coming from somebody who likes these movies. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. It's coming from somebody who likes these movies. Mm-hmm. They moaned all about... These movies are an art form, you know. It's like a Western used to be. It's now what a superhero movie is. It's like, yeah, those Westerns are terrible too. There's like 6 good ones and 10,000 bad ones. Right? Wait, The Searchers. Right? High Noon. I can name them all. Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Right? What a Stagecoach. That's it. We're done.
A Wild Bunch?
Wild Bunch. And that's it. But that's a comment. That's already not a pure Western. That's already like a sociopath who certainly has no problem with women getting punched. What's his face? Sam Peckinpah. Imagine if he was on Twitter now. Ay, ay, ay. That guy. Women kind of like getting punched. Like, that's like the message to like almost every Sam Peckinpah movie.
But Pauline Kael loved that movie.
A Wild Bunch?
Oh, yeah. She went into ecstasies over that movie.
Yeah, but she hated Straw Dogs.
Well, yeah, she doesn't like that one.
Yeah, neither do I.
Well, that's a weird movie, yeah.
A weird one, because it's like, I think, you know, his philosophy for these movies was like that women kind of like getting sexually assaulted. I think they just like super tough guys. It's like, Sam Peckinpah, I think you're making all of this up. You have literally no proof for any of this. You're just a demented old creep. Wild Bunch is not even a real Western. But the thing is, like, all these nerds are like, oh, these Westerns, that was an art form. And now superhero movies are like that. It's like, and what's his face? He made Irishman. And I listened to the Irishman podcast this week, narrated by Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm talking here, I got part. He's like, most movies would have cast younger versions of the actors, not Mr. Scorsese. This is the Irishman we're talking about. Ay, ay, ay.
What is the podcast? You know you're,
what's that, Mike?
I was saying, what is the podcast? Is it just like reviewing
behind the scenes
20 sense. Minutes of the movie at a time?
No, it's just him talking about the making of the movie, three parts.
Okay.
And then they did three extra parts, like without Mr. Maniscalco's, without his guidance and performance. And they talked to the Thelma Schoonmaker, who was very interesting, very talented editor of Marty's movies. She's edited almost of them. Thelma Schoonmaker. So anyway, you nerds, you wanted it. You wanted to know what it was going to be like to be just like in a weird, weird, like dystopian future. We're in it. You got a plague going around. They got the coronavirus. You got all the politics stuff, which is falling apart. You got everything. You got what you wanted, nerd. So the only thing you ain't got now is Spider-Man ain't flying in to save the day. That's the thing. Uh-huh. Guess what, nerds? There ain't no such thing as Spider-Man.
Out of luck.
Yeah, you know who you got? You know the heroes you got? Me. People like me. Fighting the fight, sticking up for the little guy. And I'm telling you, I'm so sick of it. I love how happy Mike is with this. What is so funny about that?
Tom, it's when you're in, that's you in your groove. When you hit that note. I mean, Positive Tuesday was only last week.
That's right, it was. It was eight years ago.
And now you're back in your groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Positive Tuesday. Now one thing, I'm positive nobody's appreciating me Tuesday.
Apocalyptic Tuesday.
Apocalyptic Tuesday. Thank you, Mike. Because I'm going to say this. Spider-Man ain't flying in here to save the day. What's his face ain't coming in to save the day? Ant-Man. Cut me out of both movies. Ant-Man ain't flying in to save the day. You know? Gotta look these real life heroes. The guys that stick up for the ones that stick up for the actual slobs on the street.
Did you have more fun filming the scene in the first one or the second one?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm kidding. Well, I can tell you. The first one was me acting across from Mr. Paul Rudd. Mm-hmm. I was selling him a lottery ticket.
Newspaper man.
What's that now?
You were a newspaper man.
Well, I was running a bodega.
Okay.
Yeah. You nerds, you got to realize it. You guys made the bed. This is a bed you made. You made it. You want a Terminator? You're moaning all about Terminator movies? Guess what? We're in a Terminator movie now. But you know who ain't rolling in now? I don't even know who the hero in those things are. Arnold Schwarzenegger ain't showing up now to save the day. He was a bad guy in those, though, right?
Who's that?
Well, look at this. This is what I'm going to say. Yeah, Spider-Man ain't flying in here. Terminator ain't going to show up. Ant-Man ain't going to show up to save the day. It's time to be a real hero. You want to be a hero? You want a hero? You go be your own hero. You go help people. That's what I'm doing. And you know what? You know who I'm helping? Me. As much as anybody else. I'm out here fighting for the slob, but I'm fighting for myself. It's like a zoo out here in Los Angeles, Mike.
Yeah.
It's careerists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Backstabbers.
Rats.
Yeah.
Rats. That's where they, you know.
Professional jealousy.
Yeah. But yeah. You know where you get it worse, Mike? New York.
Yeah. New York's worse.
New York's worse.
Oh, okay.
Because you know why? Because they all act like, in New York, they're like, hey, we're normal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're weirder than anybody. Weirdest place on earth. Because they also, at least out here, these mutants out here, they'll be like, yeah, I'm a mutant. Like, they'll be completely honest that they're a mutant. And New York, they're like, oh, those mutants in Los Angeles. Worst things I ever had happen in New York. Get fired. Get humiliated. Ain't happening here. This is my window, Mike. Right now, this is my window. Uh-huh. This is my window. I hope I just don't get coronavirus. I don't want to get it. If I get this thing, if I go to like the movies and I get this virus and I don't like spin a buck off of it. Because there's all these tests going on now. Like, do you want the coronavirus? Come get it, and we'll study you for 2 weeks, and we'll pay you. Mm-hmm. I would do that in a second.
It's like the purge.
It is like the purge. Thank you, Pat.
The purge pre.
I would do that in a second. I would go if somebody was like, yeah, we'll give you a couple grand. We'll give you a coronavirus. You go sit in a room for a week and a half. You kidding? Sign me up. And now I'm starting to worry. Look, the mics in Jersey City are clean. Those are spotless.
Yeah, they're good.
I don't know what's going on with these forever dog mics. I don't know who's in here. I don't know if laundry man's in here, breathing heavy, doing whatever he does. I don't know. I don't know. I see some of these podcasters out there. I got to get some Windex. What do? Drink Windex? Rub it on your lips? What helps stop this? We have any calls?
Full phone bank.
Full phone bank. Good. I like to know that. I like to know that. Not going to go to it yet. But yeah, look. You nerds wanted it. You got it. You got everything you wanted. Now it's time to act like a hero, nerds. You going to rise to the challenge? And I'm saying you want to be a hero, you be a real life hero. 1 inch at a time. You go help people, volunteer, give money, give time. That's how you be a real hero in life. You help the people that actually need help. And you get yourself strong and you get yourself smart. You take care of yourself. You outlast the bad guys. The maniacs, the mutants, the liars, the half-wits. The garbage masquerading as human beings. I am literally just doing the show for you, no, Mike.
Well, that's what it used to be like in the old days, remember?
Yeah. Well, guess what? The old days are the new days, and new days are the old days.
I'm trying to be a hero tonight, Tom. I'm trying to get Frank Colombo to call in from McMillions. Did you see the finale yesterday?
I did not see the finale.
You haven't seen it? Oh.
No. I can roll with it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'll be careful. If he calls in, I'll be careful because there's big revelations. Major revelations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Major revelations. Okay.
That's good to know, though.
Good. I'm excited about the fact. I was too busy. Last night, Mike, I went to go see Adam Sandler live.
Oh, nice.
At a small theater called the Dynasty Typewriter. Dynasty Typewriter. This place holds like 200 people. Sandman was there running his live show that he's going to tour in huge venues all over. He did a tune-up shows. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you this, Mike. It was so good. It was so great. I laughed and laughed. He's got these new songs. It's all funny. Did you watch his Netflix special?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's that.
Yeah.
It's more of that.
Okay. I regret it. He played PNC last summer. Yeah. But I didn't work that show.
Hopefully you work his next shows that he performs at, because it was great. He was so funny. And then he does the Chris Farley song at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one song, and then he's got a line in it about making Grown Ups 3, and I got to say this, I felt like garbage hearing him say that. Because I wrote that Grown Ups 3 script before I knew that was a line in the song.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that thing back in April, Grown-Ups 3. Then he's got this line about how Chris Farley would have been in Grown-Ups 3. I sunk in my seat a little bit. It's fine. I'll own it.
Yeah.
I'll own it. But you know what? I'm not that sorry. Mike Frank Colombo just texted you back.
Did he? Okay.
Tweeted you back.
Did he say what time he's calling?
It's at 11 p.m.
All right, great.
So we're going to talk to him?
Yeah, I think
so. Why don't you set it up, Mike?
Yeah, I'll set it up.
I'll tell you, Mike, you set this up.
How many points?
4,000.
4,000? Wow.
4,000. This puts you – because you know why? Because this is hot.
I wish you could have seen his eyes. I wish you could have seen his eyes.
I've seen his eyes before. I know what he looked like.
Pat just grimaced, though. He took it hard. He's over there like he's gonna.
Well, this is what I'm gonna say, Pat.
Mike was licking his lips after he said.
Yeah, he should be, because you know what he's got. He's capturing the moment.
Mm-hmm. He's got coronavirus. That's what he's got.
Mike's got the thing. On Monday night, this guy finishes McMillions, right? One night later, Mike's getting him on the show.
Yeah.
That's what I've been looking for, Mike.
Still hungry, Tom.
You're hungry again.
Yeah.
You haven't been hungry in years, but now you're back. I like it.
Yeah.
You got the hunger again.
Are we sure?
When are you going to do this podcast, Mike? When are you going to do the Bayonne podcast?
No. It's a bad time for Bayonne. I mean,
it's a bad time. Here we go.
Seriously, Tom, I don't even like going to bars in Bayonne because it's you know, all this stuff that's happening. You know, you get people shouting at you sooner or later, and it's just, you know, it's just a bad time. I'm still working on a cameo. That looks like it's going forward. I just put up the Warholian edition of the headshots.
Yeah, so this. And you know, so you'd almost think he just. I've never heard him be so tight in his performance. Now he's rolling these things off like he rehearsed this. I got the headshots going. I got the Warholian headshots going over at apmike.bandcamp.com. The cameo is coming soon. So you're going to do cameo videos again where you announce, where you say happy birthday, Billy, and those. When is that going to be live?
Give me a couple weeks.
A couple weeks.
And you said I can shoot them in here? In this studio?
Mike, you do whatever you want.
Okay. No, I
appreciate
it. Shoot
him right in the chair, right in the captain's chair.
It'll be like going to work.
Yeah, punch a clock, Mike. Yeah, you'd be like Dallas Green.
I'll crank him out.
Yeah. You put your uniform on, just like a baseball manager.
Well, I got to get a hat for...
dress like a child.
AP Vince.
That's right.
I got to get the baseball hat, the shades. I have the shades already.
You got the shades?
I got to get some stupid gold chain to complete the look.
I love it.
Okay. Hey, it's me, AP Mike here.
Are we sure that this is the real Frank Colombo on Twitter, by the way? This account only has 82 followers.
Well, this is what I'm going to say.
Actually, when he liked, I posted a tweet. This is how it got started. I posted a tweet about FBI agent Doug Matthews. Now, you saw the previous episode, right, Tom?
Yeah, I did.
Where?
The buffoon. First of all, people don't know. There's this home box office show called Mac Millions, and it's not a real show. It's a documentary. It's not a scripted thing. And it's this thing about how this trash stole McDonald's Monopoly game pieces, and they stole them, and then they won like hundreds of thousands, if not more money, million dollars at a pop sometimes. A
couple of them got millions.
So these garbage people, thieves,
fraudsters,
tricksters.
Yeah.
They steal these game pieces and they're winning all this money. And then you get this one guy who Mike has been talking to on Twitter. His brother was one of the piles of trash that was stealing these tickets.
Hey, come on. He's gonna, our guest is
Oh yeah, up. Let me show respect. You're right. No, you're right, Mike. Let me show respect to a mobster. You're right. Yeah. Oh no, you're. Oh, it's a little too harsh.
Come on.
The mobster.
Respect my guest.
Yeah, respect your guest. Yeah. Well, first of all, Mike, I'm starting to feel. I think Pat might be right. You're following somebody with. You're courting this guy with 82 followers.
No, he didn't. Listen.
So let me just finish explaining. Okay, so there's this thing, Mac Millions, and it's produced by Mark Wahlberg, who apparently now is. He's also got this Wall Street documentary coming out soon, and. Apparently he's now our Ken Burns now, the Ken Burns of this era, which exactly fits where we're at right now, the way the world's ending, is that Mark Wahlberg is our Ken Burns. We got a coronavirus, every other person's coughing up a lung on the street with this. Yeah, who knows what's going on with I don't even talk about politics on the show, but that don't seem healthy right now. That seems like a free fall. And now Mark Wahlberg is Ken Burns for this new reality. So Mike has been talking to, so there's this one FBI agent on the show who's this guy who thinks he's like Matt Damon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, this guy is more like Peyton Manning at best. He's like a poor man's Peyton Manning.
He's auditioning,
He's hamming it up. Yeah. He's yucking it. He's a personality.
He laughs at everything he says.
These personalities, laughing, everything's a hoot, except you just know, like, oh, man, I'm sure there's somebody who's on the wrong side of this guy. He's like, yeah, it's not that funny. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still an FBI agent.
Yeah. So anyway.
And this buffoon gets this dunce has this airtight document about what they're going to do with this investigation of Mac Millions, where they're trying to catch this trash who's been stealing the tickets. Mm-hmm. And he gets this he writes this document up and he faxes it to a newspaper, like literally faxes the entire FBI document to a newspaper. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And he wouldn't even admit it on the show.
No.
Yeah, he didn't have the courage to admit that he made a mistake. And it wasn't until another agent sort of said, yeah, he was the one that did it.
Yeah, this other agent's like, yeah, I'm not going to say who did it, but it was him. Nah. So, see, yeah. Oh, wow, Biden just announced his running mate. Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Well, that makes sense. That fits the way the world's going. He should be vice president. So anyway, this FBI guy's a clown, and then Mike's talking to the other guy who's got how many followers, Pat?
He's got 82, and he just – that's Jason. I just put him on because I have to free up this phone line in a minute because apparently Frank Colombo is going to call line 5 in a moment.
Oh,
how'd you get him the number?
We're in contact now through Twitter. He just followed us back, so DM him.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
There's no way.
How you feeling, Jason?
I'm okay. I mean, full disclosure, I don't know. I missed the beginning of the show, but yeah, I'm a little under the weather, and with this coronavirus stuff, I didn't want to chance it and get the other guys sick. Even though I just learned that Mike doesn't wash his hands, so I would. probably be bringing good germs.
I didn't go to the bathroom. What did I have to wash my hands because I entered the
space? Because you entered from everyone's washing their hands when they get into a place if you're working with others. Yeah, it's
just, I'm Mike.
Yeah. I'm Mike.
Mike's
Mike rolls.
I'm in self-quarantine. What are you talking about? I don't see anybody all day.
No, you have been self-quarantining for ages.
Masculinity is a prison.
That's my life.
And
what are
all
you talking about?
Do I really want to talk to this MacMillions guy?
I mean, 82 followers, and also, I just have to say really quickly,
here's the
thing. Reason I called, 4,000 points, and he's not even a member of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young?
No, but the thing is, did you get me Crosby when he besmirched Daryl Hannah? No, you didn't.
I got him right around the time period of Daryl Hannah.
And I'm gonna call shenanigans on it.
If I can get Graham Nash, how many points?
Well, we gotta see what's what. We gotta see what's what. Mike is getting this guy within 24 hours of the finale of this thing, 4,000 points.
Wow. Okay.
I gotta say.
I gotta say, I got the hunger now.
You got the hunger. Good. That's what I wanted.
That's
the
fever talking.
That is the fever talking.
That's the coronavirus is getting you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this guy's going to call, so we got to free up 5 now.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right.
Feel better, Jason.
Here's the thing. All right, I thought it was a fake account, and I said as much when he liked my tweet about what an idiot the FBI agent was. That's what started the thing rolling. Yeah. So I said, thank you, fake Frank Colombo account. Mm-hmm. And then he said he came back at me with, fake account. Perfect. So I'm like, then I look at his Twitter feed. He's following one person, Mark Wahlberg. Mm. And at the time, he had like maybe 2 followers. I don't think his wife was even following at the time. But now his wife and I think his son is following. He's posted a personal family photo. He's probably the least social media savvy guy out there.
But he's only following 4 people, and one of them is us.
I think he's just not a Twitter guy. He had no interest in Twitter, but then,
this is Mike, I gotta say this. Mike, this is crossroads time for you right now. This is crossroads time. Uh-huh. This is Mike sliding all the chips in on this one.
Yeah.
If this turns out to be the guy, it's huge.
Yeah.
If it's a flop, if it's a bust, if Mike was duped, Mike, I don't know if you ever recover from that.
Here's the other post. He posted a little video. Did you see the video he posted?
No, I don't follow this guy.
Well, he posted a video, and it's his wife going up to a McDonald's drive-thru. And the most famous scene for Frank in the whole documentary was when he went to a McDonald's drive-thru and he ordered a large coffee with 10 creams
Whoa.
And 5 equals.
Yeah.
Well, we better
talk to this guy soon. That's not the kind of diet.
Yeah. But that was like his moment in the entire documentary. So that's, you know, I thought that was significant proof that I was.
Well, I'm excited to talk to this guy. I'm excited to talk to this guy. I think it'll be great. And Mike, if you brought it, this put you over the top. The other guys, Mike, I ain't going to come within a mile of you. But if you flop on this, if this is a fake account and this is you gave the hotline out ostensibly to.
I didn't do that.
To a fraudster. Mike, you don't ever, I don't know if you recover from that. I don't know, Mike.
No, I'm rooting for Frank.
Now you're rooting, yeah.
I do. Don't know. I don't want to see Mike fail here.
When you see the last episode, Tom, you're going to see, I mean, the last scene is Frank and his wife. I mean, I don't want to reveal too much.
Are they eating Big Macs?
there is a McDonald's connection that cracks everybody up. The documentary ends with a big laugh. It's funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, the moment is at hand.
Okay.
I mean, he's still an hour away.
Yeah.
No, he's calling within the next 10 minutes now.
Oh, 10 o'clock?
He said 10:20. So 10:20 our time, which is 10 minutes away.
Okay.
Well, let me say this first of all. The topic tonight, skin crawlers. We are in full skin crawler time now. Everybody's got the heebie-jeebies. Everybody's washing their hands. I did a little Forever Dog's got this this lotion. Oh no, this is pro coronavirus. Oh no. I thought this fought it. This says it's got a 99.99% chance of giving it to you. Uh-oh. Yeah, you got to read those labels. Now, everybody's got their hand sanitizer, and everybody's worried. But I get the heebie-jeebies all every day. You take the train, you know one of the worst feelings is you go on the subway, and then you feel someone's hair against your bare arm? It's the worst thing I ever felt in my life. I mean, I don't care if it was Jennifer Aniston's head hair. I don't care if it's Judy Greer. I don't care. I want nothing to do with it. Gives me the heebie-jeebies, that feel. You know what I mean? Does that feeling not bother you, Mike?
I don't think I've ever had that experience.
Of somebody just their hair, like they sweep their hair back and it touches your arm?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You have to be pretty close.
I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't want it, and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten it, and I choose to not get it, and I pray to never get it again. But I know I will. It's not a matter of whose hair it is. It's anybody's hair.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't like that feeling.
It's weird.
And then I get the heebie-jeebies. They watch like Pimple Popper, Dr. Pimple Popper. You couldn't pay me to watch that in a million years. It'd be a show about popping pimples. I could throw up right now thinking about it.
What is that, an info commercial?
No, it's a TV show.
What show is that?
I just don't like the gross. The stuff like that. It makes you literally feel like I'm crawling out of my skin. Hmm. What are the things like that for you, Mike? What do you got?
I'm not a big fan of people licking things in public.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
It's not collage material right there.
Like, yeah, there you go. Thank you, Pat. Pull the clip, I'll throw you 50 points.
Ice cream cones? I mean, I like ice cream. I have nothing against ice cream.
Timestamp 122.
But, you know, to wag your tongue like that in public, you know, it's unseemly.
Adam Sandler talked about that last night on stage things, Mike.
Oh, wow. That's
weird. He was just saying that he was trying to figure out what the cutoff was for an adult to not lick an ice cream cone in public. That you just got to start, like, eating the cone at a point. Mm-hmm. That you don't want to see adults doing that.
I haven't had an ice cream cone in decades. I'm a cup guy. Really? You're going to give me a hard time for getting ice cream?
No. I'm giving you a hard time because you sound so proud of your stand on this. I'm a cup guy. You're a little too into it.
It's just.
I'm a cup guy is like saying, it's like the new I don't have a TV.
Really?
Well, okay. I don't eat ice cream from cones.
Wait a second. I think the cones preceded the cups. I think ice cream cones were a thing. And then people said, enough with the cones and the mess at the end. Because let's face it. An ice cream is a disaster at the end. You know, you've got the, everything's melting if it's a hot day. Everything is melting. You got to try and maneuver the thing so you don't make a mess. Mm-hmm. You don't have to deal with that with a cup.
That's true.
It's mature. You have to graduate to the cup.
Graduate to the cup. I love it. See, this is the kind of stuff that should be in your Bayonne podcast. But apparently things are so bad in Bayonne, you can't do one.
I don't want to go out in Bayonne.
You don't have to go out. What if you just do it from a car driving around?
People can come to you.
All right. What podcast do you want to do, Mike?
We're going to do a slice of life soon. I believe that's happening soon.
That sounds great.
I don't
want to do the Bayonne podcast. I thought you were proud of your own city.
No, I was thinking about it. I had a guy, but I don't think he's reliable for driving me around. I don't want to give up a parking spot late at night.
Mike, I'll pay for the car. We'll put you in an Uber.
No, they don't.
Do they have that in Bayonne?
Yeah, they have Uber, but, you know, the original idea was to bounce around, and I just don't think.
All right. Look. Yeah. Okay, you don't have to do the Bayonne podcast.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Mike, you get this MacMillions guy. If this guy's the real deal.
Oh, he's the real deal. I have no doubt.
He says he's calling now, but I don't see Lion 5 flashing, so I'm sending him the number one more time.
Okay.
And I'm double checking it.
I am starting to have doubts that this is going to be another one of Mike's follies.
Flame out.
Another AP Mike flame out.
Hey, I tried, right?
No, I'll say this though. You tried.
Yeah.
More than I can say for, I'm not going to name names. Not going to name names. But Mike, you're in the mix. You're trying. You're giving it your best. And if we get this guy from MacMillions, then this is a biggie. This is a biggie. This puts us on the map.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Oh.
Stand by for Frank. Hold on right now.
Frank Colombo?
Yes, how are you?
Here he is.
Frank Colombo, welcome to the best show. It is an honor, sir.
Thank you very much. I also have my wife Heather with me.
Hey there, how are you guys doing?
That's exciting. This is because you guys were quite a duo on the show.
Thank you very much.
On MacMillions. Now, I'm just going to say, I have not seen the final episode. I could not watch it last night. I'm dying to know what happens. Mike is the guy in the studio right now. He made this connection happen. He is a huge MacMillions fan. He is a fan of both of you. He talks about you a fair amount. And he was saying, I think I can get the MacMillions, the stars of MacMillions to call in.
Well, we really appreciate the love.
Where are you now, if you don't mind me asking? Where in America are you?
We are in sunny Florida now.
Florida, that's nice. That's nice.
Thanks for calling us so late.
Yes, we appreciate it. We appreciate the call. And let me ask, first of all, Mike is sure that this is real. I worried. I was 85% sure that this was legit, that it was real. Mike is 100% sure. Is there some way, Mike, you can prove that this is the real Frank?
Well, I think the video he posted recently of going up to the McDonald's drive-thru where they ordered.
That was my wife and her Hummer.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me actually. We were actually out of town and we ran through a McDonald's and that's like a very usual coffee order, the large coffee with the 10 cream and 5 sugar for me. Actually, he gets 5 equal. But we order that all the time. We don't think anything, you know, strange about it.
But the audience really sort of zoomed in on that. I mean, to me, it didn't really register when I saw the scene. But then I went on Twitter, and everybody was going crazy about that order. So it became your hook, you know, and you had some fun with it. I got a kick out of that video.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I could see it was Heather. And so, yeah, I mean, who else? A fake can't post that. You're clearly not a social media guy. That's why I thought it was a fake, you know? And you don't have the blue check, right? That's like the royalty.
Yeah, he doesn't have it yet.
Yes, I have to get the verification on my Twitter and on my Instagram now.
Uh-huh. Now, Frank and Heather, I want to ask, how long ago did the McMillions thing come about? When was the first time you heard that there was this project was being entertained?
We pretty much, it was around 2018 when I seen the Daily Beast article come out of California.
Okay. And then when did they reach out to you and say, would you sit down and consider talking for
actually, we got a phone call, and they were just interested in trying to, just kind of piece things together. And, at first we weren't too sure. And, if this was legit or what have you. And then, we just figured we'd go ahead and sit down with them. I mean, such nice people and everything. And James and Brian is just unbelievably gracious and kind. So mm-hmm. That really swayed us.
Well, that's so that you felt like you were in good hands, that you'd get your story would get a fair shake, in the course of the telling of it, that you would not get kind of edited or have things cut that made you feel like you were not being represented correctly.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
Brian and James were the absolute best people to work with.
Now, that said, though, is there anything where you're just kind of like, when you look at the final product, where you're just like, well, that felt a little too much like maybe it was being a little cute with the editing or a little clever, and I felt more like this or that. Is there anything like that that's in the final product that, while you might not have these absolute, you're not like outraged or anything about the way, is there still anything you feel like, well, that's not exactly the way I would have told the story?
No, actually, no, absolutely not. I think they told the story, I mean, absolutely verbatim, exactly how we said it, exactly the truth that we told. They portrayed it in the perfect light, the perfect way. It was humorous. I mean, they're really masters of their trade. They really, really are. And they just did fantastic. And I'm just, you don't get to see these things, until they're all done. And we sat there and I'm like, wow, the way it just came together and, they told it as good or better than what we did.
Sure. And that's exciting. How long was the actual interview process?
They came down about 2 or 3 different times and, we talked one night from around 5 p.m. to about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty intense, block of conversation.
Yes, and then there was another time that we actually filmed on location in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so you really got the story. And how did it feel? And look, again, I didn't see the final one yet. I'm dying to watch it. I can't. Mike is telling me it's going to make my head explode.
It is going to make your head explode. And I'm going to tiptoe around some spoilers only because Tom hasn't seen it.
And other listeners as well have not seen it. Because people, while they might be fans of the series or the whatever you want to call it. They not everybody gets to watch things the second they come out. So people all week will be watching the final episode and seeing what actually happened with stuff. And go ahead, Mike.
I have to say though, in the final episode, it begins with a red herring, Tom. And you know, you're familiar with that tactic to sort of throw the audience thinking one way and then surprise them in the end. So it sort of does, you know, resort to those kind of conventional, keep the audience on the edge of their seat through the entire episode. Mm-hmm. And it works. I mean, it's gripping through the whole thing. I knew that Frank was really anticipating this episode. And it literally goes almost to like the last 10 minutes and Frank and Heather haven't appeared. And then I'm like, what's going on here? You know? But then they, sure enough, there they are right at the end. And it's hilarious the way they sort of conclude it.
All right. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, what is something, was there anything that you wanted to say in the movie that you didn't get it, that didn't make the final cut, or some fun detail or some crazy part of things that didn't make it in that you'd want, that you are itching to tell everybody?
Not necessarily.
You gotta give me something. Come on. Frank.
I think what it is we waited so long. You know, when you live with something so long, it honestly, in the beginning, it's not like it's a weight on your shoulders, but after a while, it turns into, almost like a weight on your shoulders. And when you're allowed at the end to finally take off that weight and let the world know and let the world have some closure, because there were so many people involved and so many people affected that we didn't even know even some of the people. And to be able to lift that weight off, and also in turn, you know, secondarily be able to lift the weight off of other people's shoulders, give them some closure, let people know, you know, what actually happened. You know, that was our main goal, and that's what the focus was, and I'm just so happy that, you know, that came out, and it came out perfect. It's just, there's really nothing more that we wanted to add, nothing that anybody could have added. It's perfect.
Was the final revelation the first time that's been made public?
Yes, that's the first time that we have told anyone over 23 or 24 years, whatever it's been.
Wow. See, I wasn't sure about that. Because I don't know if you were looking at the McMillions Twitter, you know, they were all speculating what was going on there. And I actually fell for it a little, because some people were suggesting you were the informant, Frank.
Yes, I've seen that.
Okay.
And I think that was the pitch.
Okay. Because I didn't go on Google looking up the whole history of the case or anything. I was just going to watch the show and let it come to me through the show. Wasn't sure if that last major revelation was the first time that was made public.
Yes, it was, absolutely.
Let me just say, we have on the show right now from McMillions, we have Frank Colombo and Heather Colombo. Is your name Heather? I don't want to misrepresent your...
Yes.
Okay, Heather, we have from McMillions, the HBO documentary series. And let me also just say, Mike, the sound in your voice, I've never heard you sound so proud of yourself for getting a guest on the show. I can hear the smile from a mile away. But you know what? You did it. Now, Frank and Heather, how was it keeping this a secret that you had participated in this thing? And that that there's this whole huge story that maybe you had been a little maybe evasive or not talking about publicly, that is like, oh my goodness, when this thing drops, everybody's going to be talking about it. What was that expectation like for those 2 years?
Well, as they film, you know, and then later on, you know, it's coming out, but you don't know exactly when with editing and all of that. And it's the first time that we've ever been through anything like this. So we didn't really have an expectation, but you know, we had lived with it for so long we didn't talk about it. So even when, you know, the production company, when they came and James and Brian, they filmed it and everything was done, it really wasn't hard and difficult for us at all to keep it, keep it quiet, because we had already been doing that. We never talked about this part of our life. We never brought up anything. So it was kind of like almost like good training over the 20 years to not have spoke of it, because then when they were, you know, doing it and shooting it and all this with the disclosure agreements and so forth, you know, we weren't supposed to talk about it. So we just kept living just like we did for 20 years, just, you know, mm-hmm. hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, that sort of thing.
Sure. Now, I just want to say, Mike, we're from New Jersey here, and New Jersey – Mike in particular is from Bayonne, which is a city. It's as crooked as it comes. It's well, there's everything's a scam. There's an angle. Everybody's got an angle. Everybody's got an angle. And you grew up with some version of that, Frank. Did you see things as angles and see like what's the game within the game? Is that how you grew up, Frank?
Yeah, I grew up all around that. My brother actually was in charge of security at the Taj Mahal when it was at Trump Plaza way back in the day in Jersey. And so I grew up around all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And how did that inform this whole process for you? Like your background versus where you might be now, older and maybe a little more stable and maybe not as in the middle of stuff. And maybe not with your brother as you know, active with, like you're not living in the wake of his whatever he's up to or involved in.
Yeah.
What is that? What has that been like through the course of your life to kind of?
Well, it just shows me that crime doesn't pay. You know, I've seen all the crimes and all the, you know, the stuff that my family, my brother did growing up. And I was always the one that never wanted to look over my shoulder. So mm-hmm. I was the only one in the family that really has led a legit life.
Sure.
So I'm really, I guess you would call it the black sheep. I've never actually done any criminal activity myself.
Well, it's never too late, though. I just want to say. Never say never.
I have to say,
well, according to some people, we're already doing a crime by putting tin creams and five sugars in a coffee. So I guess we are criminals.
We are criminals in a sense.
I did.
Light and sweet.
I did enjoy the section about the Church of the Fuzzy Bunny.
That was another angle that I wanted to bring out when I first talked to Brian and James was the fact that I wanted to show everyone the funny side of my brother and not just the, you know, the mobster side, the attitude that he had or what have you. Because when we read that Daily Beast article that came out of California, they were pretty much trying to portray my brother as, you know, a really bad guy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I wanted people to see that, you know, he had a funny side to him. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorite story from your, I'm a bartender and, I know lots of funny things can happen in a bar. Is there any particular anecdote from those times that sort of stand out that you couldn't use on the show or?
Well, there was a couple of times where we went out to the Fuzzy Bunny, and that's when he turned it into a church.
Right.
And he actually had a pastor that he hired that would do Bible verses and what have you in between the lap dances, and it was just something. You had to be there.
Yeah. No. I mean, it was a ingenious way, I thought, to get around. They were clamping down on you guys. They were trying to drive your business out of town, right?
And where was this? Was this in South Carolina?
Yes, that was in Latin, South Carolina. And that was the only time he actually tried to make a legitimate business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it would give him a hard time. That's why he fought so hard for it.
Yeah, because he had opened up a strip club he had opened up. And
yes, exactly.
Then the local authorities put the clamp down on it, so then he redefined it as a church because that was a legal loophole.
Yes, it was. And I'll tell you what, he had a lot of people that really wanted to go. It was something different.
Uh-huh.
And when you heard, is that the kind of thing that you would have just been like, yeah, that's my brother?
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted people to know the real Jerry. He was a trip. Like I said on the documentary, you got Marlon Brando and Rodney Dangerfield, and you mashed them together, you end up with my brother.
Uh-huh. But he was into some, but at its, I know it's funny and everything, but there must have been some scarier things or some things where you're just like, well, this is why I chose this path for my actual life. And Jerry kind of ran with a different crowd than you ran with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It all started with my grandfather back in Sicily. My grandfather was at the Capo of Capos in Sicily, and the things that he did and my family did, you know, it wasn't the type of people you wanted to mess with. You know, I mean, like I said, he had a funny side, but yes, there was a lot of serious things that they did. When I was a young kid, I'd seen all of that, you know, and I didn't want to live my life looking over my shoulder my whole life.
Yeah. So you saw maybe some violence or maybe some just the rougher, the actual, because there is a rough, I know it's, look, it's family, and I'm never going to be somebody to besmirch somebody else's family to them, but it's like, it is a rougher life, and it's easy to kind of gloss over certain parts of it, but it's not always a glamorous life, and it's not the life that's depicted in movies. It's just, there's a reality there that it's just, I just that you grew up with. It's very real and is not always something that's just funny or just exciting or thrilling. So you saw some real stuff go on. Not that I'm asking you to get specific either, but it's there's a reality to it that I think gets lost sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. People glamorize it, you know, and they're like, oh, I can't believe his family's, you know, this and you're the Columbos and what have you. And it's different when you're born into it. It's not like, you know, I had to be a made man to be a Columbo. I'm just, you know, I was born into the family. So mm-hmm. when you're part of the family, it's your family no matter what. You don't have to do anything to be part of the family because it's your blood.
It's just your everyday normal.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. And when you see things in terms of the lifestyle depicted in, like, movies and things, because even in, like, if you watch, like, The Irishman or something like that, and it's like, what are your reactions to the kind of the depiction of that culture in entertainment?
Oh, it's absolutely a joke. They make it seem like it's so glamorous and you're riding around and people are like, yeah, we'll forget about it. And you're eating fancy restaurants and all this kind of nonsense. It's nothing like that whatsoever.
Oh, look, I know you're not eating at fancy restaurants. Don't worry about that part, Frank. We saw the show. We know where you're hanging. But go ahead. So I didn't mean to cut you off. People see that glamorous side in the movies and you were talking.
Yeah, they think that it's all, you know, sugar-coated and everyone's getting along and, you know, and it's, you know, it's not like that whatsoever. It's not mm-hmm. like that whatsoever. And especially growing up in it, you know, there was certain expectations you had to live by and we couldn't get tattoos.
But there's reasons behind all of those, even though it may seem extreme. Just like, for an example, getting a tattoo, there's a logic behind it because a tattoo is an identifying mark. There was to be no identifying mark. So that's, you know, an old school way of thinking, but it still, you know, is in play in today's society.
Yeah, so the way I look at it was, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't as bad back then, but it was more respectful back then. Mm-hmm. My family, you know, when we were young, they didn't want anything to do with any kind of narcotics whatsoever. You know, it was, you know, alcohol and loan sharking and what have you. That was okay. But nowadays, I think it's lost all the respect that they used to have back in the day when it was, you know, a different generation.
Sure. Well, is it what movie or television show do you think would be closest to capturing some portion of it?
I would say The Godfather, the original Godfather movies.
Okay. Did you see The Irishman yet?
Yes, I've seen that about 4 or 5 months ago, and it was okay. Not the best. I would say about an average of a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. But the original Godfather is what the closest that kind of captures some portion of the lifestyle.
Yes. If you actually look at the original Godfather movies and you actually look into it, they actually had input from the five families to make the Godfather movie back in the day.
Sure, sure. Because even in Irishman, is Columbo a last name that comes up in Irishman?
I don't recall. I don't recall that.
Okay.
If we were in the movie or not.
Sure. But you, what line of work did you end up in, Frank?
I'm in construction.
Okay. And Heather, you did not grow up in Florida. Neither of you grew up in Florida, but you.
Oh no! I did grow up in Florida. I was actually born in Florida, and I've been here my entire life.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then I was. So you met when you moved down to Florida.
Well, no, we actually met in 1996. He lived a little south of me, and we had gone out, me and a friend, and then him and a friend, and we met, and that's how we actually originally met back in 1996, and then got married at the end of 96.
Sure. Mike, do you have what are some of the other thoughts you had, Mike? Mike is a huge fan, and he has been saying, I want to get them on the show. I want to get them on the show. And he did it. I got to get Mike. I tip my hat to you. You did it.
I don't know what to say.
It makes me sick to my stomach on some level that I got to say you did it. But you know what? I'll say it. I give credit where credit's due.
I just wanted to ask Frank and Heather, just as viewers of the documentary, I'm sure you didn't know 3/4 of the people involved. Were there any of the people that were part of the story that sort of like you'd have a reaction to? I mean, my reaction, one of the participants, George Chandler. Now, I called him the hayseed because they put him a lot of time in front of literally bales of hay. And his whole thing is that somebody, his foster father, gave him a $1 million ticket, and he didn't even question it. You know, I mean, some of these people just to me have like zero street smarts that if anybody approached me or you with a $1 million ticket and said, here, have this, I mean, a red flag would go up, right? And this,
well, I would do so.
Well, if you have a lot of trust in someone, which I think he actually had a lot of trust, you don't, it's kind of like when you're a young child and your parent tells you, hey, jump in the swimming pool, I'll catch you. You have to have that level of trust to make that initial dive. So, you know, and you don't question it. You just, a child will just jump off the side of the pool and into the parent's arms. I think it was kind of almost the same thing with him. I think he trusted him. And when you trust somebody, you don't question it. You just, hey, they're looking out for me. And, you know, this isn't going to be bad. I think that's kind of the category it fell into.
I mean, it just struck me. Yeah.
Speaking of jumping into a pool, that one guy, when he was sweating, it looked like I never felt like I was going to. I was never more. I got sweaty watching him sweat. The Sonny.
Yes,
was it Sonny?
That was Buddy Fisher. Yes. Oh, my
Buddy.
God. I seen that clip. That was Robin's father.
That's Robin's father. And when he's talking, It was the sweat coming off his forehead. Oh,
but I think
I'm getting sweaty just thinking about it.
I think
now.
That other guy though, who they filmed, the FBI filmed, you know, he was like the guy that they, you know, they did the fake production. He was sweating.
Oh, with the check.
Hoover,
when you saw what parts of this made you guys laugh? What parts that you didn't maybe know about? Like Mike was mentioning the stuff that you didn't know about because you didn't know every angle of the story. What parts were surprising to you or made you laugh or shocked you?
I really liked the AJ Glum guy. I want to sit down and have a beer with him one day.
Actually, mm-hmm. I was going to bring that up. Tom, you know, I don't think this isn't going to really affect it, but he was very honest in the last episode.
Okay.
And the filmmakers literally asked him, would you do it again? Mm-hmm. And he said, tomorrow. I was like, okay, this guy, he's a straight shooter, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, he sort of had a life of different things. He also did some drug dealing, I guess. And, you know, so he was always looking, you were talking about angles. He was the one who was always looking for an angle, and apparently he's still looking for an angle. And I thought, you know, I laughed at that because, but I said, yeah, he's being honest, right? You know,
because that John Goodman looking dude was just like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he was annoying.
Would have done this again.
Yeah,
it's like, you grabbed it. You grabbed it. You got caught.
He thought he was smarter than everybody. The real estate guy. Yeah. Yeah, Baker. Yeah,
and he got busted.
Yeah,
he gave away some field or whatever to make bail, and what's then. But then he got busted. The other guy, I like the cut of that guy's jib. He's just like, yeah, I go right back in. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it. I'm not going to get specific because it might be some problem. If there's anybody out there. Just know I'm open for business.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm open for business.
I got the message.
I just like to ask Heather too.
I'm not talking to you, Frank or Heather, because you guys are straight shooters and you're legit. But I'm saying there's a lot of trash in my audience. I'm open for business, trash.
I don't know if anybody has said this to you, Heather. You looked worried through almost the entire documentary, and you just mentioned you felt like you had a weight on your shoulders. Was that part of it, that you were going to finally get this thing off your shoulders, and it had been so many years, and it just seemed like you were I could see it on your face that you were carrying this weight.
Well, there was a lot of a lot of things that went into my look. First of all, I felt like, you know, really, I came into the family in 1996, kind of towards more of the end, like three-quarter mark of this whole McMillions thing. I was told at the time, you know, not to change my Social Security, my name on my Social Security card. I was told I was the next winner. I had the ticket was already, you know, ready to go for me. Had that not happened to Jerry, I was the next in line. But I was nervous about that. But, you know, and it did feel like a weight off my shoulders. But it's almost like, you know, when you're telling it, you're reliving it. And at the time, I was very worried. Mm-hmm. You know, worried about what direction it might go if I take this ticket. Worried about, you know, my son. He was an infant at the time. Mm-hmm. Worried about, hey, I don't know this family that great. I just got married to this guy, and I got this baby. And, you know, what's going to happen to me if something, you know, if things go south? That was my worry. And as I'm doing this, you know, as I'm presenting all this and I'm telling, you know, James and Brian, it's just like replaying in my head, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah,
it's like almost like I was reliving it. And then I'm worried also, you know, I don't want to, you know, obviously say anything wrong or interject anything, because this is ultimately, it was Frank's family. It was his brother. It wasn't mine. But at the same time, I didn't want to step on his toes. So I'm usually quite a talker. So it was like I was trying to make myself be quiet, if that makes any kind of sense at all.
No, that comes across, because I don't think
Oh, my God, I talk. You can't shut me up. That's the problem. I'm like, okay, and I'm telling myself in my head, I'm like the little voice is like, okay, Heather, just shut up. Let him talk. And I think it came out in my expression, because I've seen a couple of the tweets, and they're like, oh, yeah, she has so much expression. This, I'm like thinking to myself, yeah, I'm saying every word that I want to say, but with my eyes and my facial
That's
expression.
True.
Yeah. And then sometimes you would jump in on the final word of a thing just because, but it was all on your, you were doing everything but saying it. You were feeling it and living it, but you would finally say, like Frank would say, like, yeah, we were walking down the street. You say street.
we do that. We've been married for like 23 years now. And then when he got the date of our anniversary wrong, I was like, we were married in November of 96.
Yes, that's the only thing that I regret them putting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's one that they could take out, and but they're not. But look, it's funny. Everybody came away from this, I feel like, they weren't sure what to make of you, Frank, or you, Heather, and they just were like, where's the story going? I don't know who these people really are or what their story is. And look, I still haven't seen the final one. I can't wait. but everybody I've talked to comes out of it and has been saying like, oh, I got a handle on who they were and I understand them and I like them in the documentary series. So that's a real, it seems like the real versions of yourselves ultimately came through and people understood who you are and where you were coming from. So then that's not an easy thing. So that I'm glad that happened for both of you.
So are we.
And, Mike, do you have any final questions? Because
I won't go into details. We'll probably talk about after you see the finale next week about certain things.
Okay, yeah, but we'll talk more about it on the show. But
I'll just say this to you right now that you know Robin, who's Frank's sister-in-law, who had you know a very rough life, that comes through the series, but. You're almost left with sort of a happy ending where there were major rifts in the family that they were able to overcome, let's say. And that was a nice, I didn't see that coming. So that's
fantastic.
Yeah. There's so many major revelations at the end of this thing. And, I recommend it to everybody to check it out.
Yeah. Now, Frank and Heather, one final thing is Mike often will drive back and forth from New Jersey to Florida. He often takes the straight shot down.
I had a friend in Sarasota.
He had a friend in Sarasota, but he's always bragging. And tell me if this makes sense logically. He would drive down from New Jersey to Florida, which is literally a 24-hour drive, and he would have this cooler filled with shrimp. That he would get in New Jersey. And he would drive down with this cooler to eat them in Sarasota. And I'd be like, why are you driving? Why didn't you just get the shrimp down in Florida? They got so much seafood down there.
I had a shrimp and connect.
He would always brag, I got a connect. I got a seafood connect, yeah. A shrimp connect.
I knew somebody who had the card to a restaurant depot. Where you can get things wholesale. If I drove down to Florida, I wouldn't be able to get shrimp for wholesale.
Yeah, but you also the shrimp would be fresh by the time you.
They were
you
fresh.
Be eating rotten trunk shrimp.
It wasn't 24 hours; it was 17.
Yeah, well, you're eating trunk shrimp, Mike.
It was on the ice. It was on the ice. It was cool. Nobody got sick.
Does this make sense to you, Heather or Frank? The idea of doing that.
In a sense, possibly.
I think he sounds a little crazy.
No, it makes sense because sometimes things are just better when you're in your element. You know, it would be like you know, you wouldn't want to you know, like a hot dog goes with like New York or like you know, or like pizza with
bagels.
Yeah.
So bagels.
You gotta be there. And let me tell you what, I went to New York and the pizza there is to die for compared to Florida. Like it was perfect.
Yeah,
and I dream of having pizza in New York, so I would love to be there and have pizza. So now I honestly can kind of relate. So shrimp and pizza next in New
time,
York.
Next time you're in New York, you let us know, and we'll get you some pizza.
Perfect. I'll hold you to it.
All right. Well, thank you both. Thank you, Heather Colombo, Frank Colombo, from the HBO documentary series McMillions, for calling in and being a part of the show. I truly appreciate it. Thank
you're
you both.
So very welcome.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye bye.
Bye. Unbelievable. I tell you. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Just when I'm just like, Mike's out the door. He's checked out. He's just half asleep. Food shows up. He shows up to eat. That's what I figure at this point.
Yeah.
Shows up to eat.
Free food.
You don't care about the best show anymore. Mike, you did it again.
Yeah, thank you.
You did it, Mike. 4,500 points. I'm giving you an extra 500 because it went well.
Oh, it went very well, yeah.
It went great.
We scooped.
Mike, we scooped everybody
we
on
scooped
this.
Scooped everybody on that.
Mike, that's a straight up best show scoop.
Yeah. Can we get it to go viral? Come on. That should be viral.
Yeah, like the coronavirus. Right?
Yeah.
You got the Corolla. It's like the Corolla virus up in this piece. Mike, we get this spread around like that. Can you play music? I have to check on something real quick. Okay.
I've got to get Pat. Pat sort of.
You get Pat. Okay, it's who you on. Talk for one moment. Hello, am I back?
You're back.
AP Mike, you did it.
Mike,
can we take some calls?
Yes.
Now I got an echo. Hello.
We're here,
Pat.
Tim. Yes.
That was swearing.
That was swearing with Grow Into a Ghost from Fallen to the Sun on Merge Records.
Great album. Great band. Great people. Allison Crutchfield. Super talent.
And the Philadelphia Crew.
Yeah. So I want to say this. What's going on tonight, everybody? We just heard Frank Colombo and Heather Colombo from MacMillions. And I tell you, Pat, on a scale of, Pat, scale of 1 to 10, what's it like over there? You know what I mean.
Well, first of all, if only there was a way we could determine that was really them from MacMillions. I mean,
oh, so you still think it's
the jury will
the ultimate skeptic.
The jury will be out forever on that one, but it was great content. I'll say that, Mike. You got some grade A content for the show.
Thank you, Pat.
Congratulations.
You did it, Mike. Pat, though, seriously, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the tood like?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, still would love
it's not the same without Dudio here.
Yeah.
Oh, you would have loved that. Dudio right now has been brought. Oh, that is, because now, I'll say this, Mike. Now I'm going to mention your dumb stuff. Go to apmike.bandcamp.com. Mike's selling these limited edition Warhol versions of his headshots. Limited 2020 Warhol editions. Where I cannot handle the picture that you posted of it. Yeah, well, I guess you could buy that, huh? You want one of those. Are they signed?
They'll be signed, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's slightly embarrassing that in my 58th year that I'm basically doing stuff that I did in kindergarten, coloring.
Yeah, now you're doing it for money,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no.
He's working up Cameo. Yeah. He's going to do these videos where he'll be like, congratulations on graduating, Carol. You did it. Happy birthday, Uncle Steve. And he's going to make a pile of money on that. Oh, my God. Now, Mike, do you feel like I came on? Did I come on too strong with the Columbos, or did I come on not strong enough?
No, actually, you were great, Tom. I mean, you know. You didn't know it was... You didn't know it was going to happen for sure.
I missed that first thing. You said actually, and then I missed what you said.
Oh, I said you were great. I mean, okay. It wasn't a powder puff interview. You brought up stuff that people probably would like to, question.
Look, I'm not going to go on. I'm going to go on and humiliate them or grill them and make them feel bad about it. They were nice enough to call in.
Yeah.
But I want to also not just make it some thing where I'm not asking them anything about the reality of their lifestyle.
No, I thought I was very happy with how forthcoming they were.
Yeah.
And that they didn't shirk any of your questions.
No.
You know, they respected both of us, I think, and we respected them, you know, so.
I think so, yeah. No, that was very, it was great. I appreciate their time and them being so open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the topic tonight, though, is skin crawlers, though. Let's go to the phones.
Line one.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. That interview was so good.
Oh, why, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. To whom am I speaking?
This is Taki in Oakland.
Taki? Taki?
Like my fingers are chalky from these chalkboards.
I knew this is. This is a famous musician, Chalky.
That's me.
This is Chalky. He's a guy who, Chalky is, put out this music. And he's really good. Your music's really good. I checked it out. I'm sorry I was behind the curve on it, Chalky.
Okay. Tom, would you take if someone gave you the $1 million game piece, would you cash it in?
Yeah, of course I would. I would try to figure it out through tax, make sure I can get slammed on the taxes. But I would do it.
Would you, Mike?
Well, I
what
would
do you think? What do you think?
I would question it, though. You would do it without questioning it, Tom?
No, you want to know what, though? I know this is exactly true. Mike would question it. Because every week I present him a bleeping game piece in terms of opportunities on the show. He questions every single one of them. I'm begging this guy to do Cameo, where he's going to end up making a dump truck full of money. And he's making like I'm doing him a favor.
I don't understand his aversion to that at all. I see so many cameos. I've gotten some cameos myself, and Mike's perfect for it. I would buy so many Mike cameos.
I don't want to embarrass myself.
Mike, it's too late for that.
you can do a cowboy hat edition.
I have thought of it. I have thought that. That's what I go back and forth. I don't want to embarrass myself. Wait, you've already embarrassed yourself. You know, it's like
Mike, we've all embarrassed ourselves.
Yeah.
You don't think this show has shown us in our best and worst moments?
Yeah.
Mike, it's too late.
Yeah. You know what it
Bloom is? Bloom's off the rose.
The other thing is, I don't want to be gouging people. People have been so generous to me as it is. You know, it's funny. The whole, the way it's gone, it's amusing. But then I don't want to be like just, you know, this guy is like, there's like no end with this guy. How much money is going to hit us up for, you know?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that, Mike. It's the kind of thing that if people don't want it, they won't do it.
Right. Okay. No, I'm going to move forward. I just want to get everything in place.
I love it. Now, Chalky.
Hi. I have one for the topic for you, if you want, Tom.
Let's hear it, Chalky.
Did you see Cats, the movie?
What movie?
Cats. Like the animal Cats, Andrew Lloyd Webber Cats?
I did not see Cats, no. I did not see it. Did you see Cats?
Okay, well, I saw Cats a lot. I saw it five times. I've been hosting screenings of them over here.
Really?
In the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area.
Uh-huh.
Now, people can check your music. Before we get too deep into this, Chalky, chaki.bandcamp.com is where people can check your stuff out.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Tom. It's so sweet of you. I've been such a fan of yours for so, so long, you know?
And this guy's good. He's got good stuff, man. I tell you.
Thanks.
He's laying it out. He's got some pretty intense grooves going down.
I try to get funky. I like to be funky, you know what I mean?
I hear you, and you're not trying, you're doing.
Oh, thanks. Tom, geez. I'm blushing here. I appreciate it. But yeah, I suggest you see Cats, but I gotta say that the CGI fur does make my skin crawl. And just like CGI, that Uncanny Valley stuff in general, like Avatar also makes my skin crawl. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. The idea that when a computer is trying to simulate the human state of the real world, and you end up where it's almost all the way there, but it hits this one little spot that it makes you It's exponentially horrible how close it comes and misses.
Right, and I think it started maybe with like the Polar Express or something, and Cats is the peak of where it just is wrong and it breaks your brain. So I suggest you see Cats, but also the effects are bad, but the music is really good, and Andrew Lloyd Webber is really good, and Jesus Christ Superstar is really good, and if you like prog rock, I think you'll like it, Tom.
Well, I gotta check Cats out. You know what? The hair that gets me is on Love Is Blind. The one guy Barnett, his hair on that show through the TV set feels like he's got that like the way the G.I. Joe dolls, the original ones, used to be made with like that fuzzy beard and that fuzzy hair.
Yeah, like the Mego dolls.
Yeah, that's how his hair is.
Yeah, it's like felt.
It's like, yeah, and it just makes me feel itchy when I look at his head.
Yes. Did you watch the finale of that?
I did. I watched the finale of Love Is Blind.
Everyone seems to be disappointed. Were you, or were you satisfied?
Nah, I was into it. I'm fine. I'm fine with it. Still not sure about the phrase shiesty. I'm not sure if that's how we should all feel, how that lands. On the ear, I'm not sure if that is slightly. Is that an anti-Semitic thing? Slightly, like a shyster. You know what I mean?
Like a moneylender would be.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a loaded thing. I hope it's not, because it's a pretty sweet insult, but it feels too good. It feels too good to be true. That it seems like it's probably super offensive. And I just need some clarity on that. I'm not saying it. I'm just reiterating what was on the show and trying to get some clarity.
Well, I'm gonna watch a great show tonight. I'm gonna watch the end of McMillions and Love Is Blind tonight. But I have one quick tip for you before I go. While you're in Los Angeles, you should go to Disneyland because the coronavirus is making it a ghost town. Every ride's like 10-minute wait. I just went last week. It was great.
All right, Chalky. All right, Chalky. I appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks, my friend. Is Chalky gone?
He is now. I'm gonna disagree with him, Tom. I'm gonna say don't go to Disneyland.
Is Chalky gone?
Yes.
Chalky gone?
Chalky's gone. And
Chalky
I'm
gone. Let me rock you the rock. Chalky's gone. Right? Get it? Look, that interview with Mike and the guy who look, Mike. I got to say this. I didn't know where the line was at certain points. I hoped I was respectful without. I don't want to be offensive to the guy,
no, you
but
weren't.
I also didn't. You know what I mean?
No, it wasn't like Kevin Smith.
Yeah, true low point. I'd like to formally apologize to Kevin Smith tonight for that interview 14 years ago, where. He got kind of rope-a-doped. So I tip my hat to you, Mr. Smith. You deliver. You do what you want. Am I one of your audience? Am I a snoocher boocher or whatever you guys fans call yourselves? No, I'm not. I'm not a snoocher boocher. Have I seen every one of your movies? Yeah, I have.
Red State?
Actually, not everyone. I didn't see Yoga Hosers.
You saw the reboot, though, right?
Oh, I saw the reboot. Yeah,
that thing apparently is breaking records or something. There was an article in Forbes that it's
the reboot is breaking records.
It's making like a ton of money with these live shows, and
I'll say this: good for him. Good for him, Mr. Kevin Smith. You did it. You did it again, Kevin Smith. You magnificent bastard. I wish I could study your playbook. See, that's the thing. The spot I'm in now, you got this guys like Kevin Smith, right? This guy's cleaning up. It's Tom time. It's time for me to start cleaning up, get a piece of the action. Leave it all for Kevin Smith. McMillions guy. I got this detective, the detective on McMillions has a better showbiz career than I do right now. Doug. Was his name Doug?
Doug Matthews.
Doug Matthews. And weird, it's spelled weird, too. Like one T or something.
Yeah, one T. Yeah, bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my window, Mike. Yeah. It's Tom time. It's a window for Tom time. Window's closing. Final window. Is it. They shoved me into the wood chipper. This is it, final window, and I'm going for it. I'm grabbing it. I'm grabbing it like nothing's got coronavirus on. No, I'm grabbing it like I like coronavirus.
You're loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I will say that coffee order is disgusting, though, that they get.
Here's another question I wish I could have asked them. Is, do you think the whole thing was a six-hour-long McDonald's commercial?
Well, I've said that, Mike.
Okay,
it makes me hungry. Yeah, it makes me want McDonald's.
Okay.
Yeah. McDonald's fry, so, right?
So now we're going to probably see more scandals at these huge corporations or whatever, just to get some of that six-hour PR on HBO.
We got to get – again, I'm open for business, that's all I'm saying.
I think that this is McDonald's way of letting everybody know that the Monopoly game is coming back this in 2020.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah.
It's a big launch for the comeback of the Monopoly money.
And all I want to say is this. Because of McDonald's, look, that food is disgusting. We all know it. It's good hot. Second that stuff gets cool, it's... You wouldn't give it to a dog that you hated.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a dog you didn't like, you wouldn't give him a McDonald's cheeseburger. Once that thing cools off.
The fries.
But I'll say this. Get that filet fish comes off the griddle hot.
Yeah.
I'm into it. It's the only thing that Trump gets right. Kids like fast food. You win a football game, you want to eat some Big Macs. Say that, and I'll say this. I'm open for business. Anybody got a thing you need me to show up, claim it, tickets, contest winner. It's my turn. It's Tom time. If they're not going to give it to me, they're not going to give it to me legit, I'll go in the back door. I'm going to the back door now. They're giving it to me legit. Mike?
Yeah.
Back door.
Yeah.
I look online 2 days ago. I see, you know what DC announces? You know what they announced, Mike?
What?
Something called the Three Jokers.
Oh.
Oh, where'd you hear that? Anybody hear the Three Jokers as a concept anywhere? Oh, yeah, a month ago on this show. I was going to shoot a movie, Three Jokers. With Harley Quinn, get Mary Houlihan as Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn, not now. No, DC's doing the Three Jokers. I wonder where you got the idea for that.
No, they're not.
What?
Are you real right now?
Pat, Google Three Jokers.
Well, first of all.
Pat, I just typed in Three Jokers.
I'm loading Bing. Hold on a second.
Right. Three Jokers. They got a book called Three Jokers coming out.
The internet's really slow. Right
one
now.
Day ago. Entertainment Weekly. One day ago. Jeff Johns, Jason Fabok teased DC's Three Jokers comic in exclusive interview.
Well, I think we need to sue.
I think we do. Or you know what we need to do? Get Frank Colombo to make a call.
One call. Who would the call be to?
Right? You get what's his face up there? Sweaty. He'll drip all over the comic books. Buddy. Right?
Is that his name?
His name Dusty,
I think. I think he was a Dusty.
No, you knew he's a buddy of.
Oh, no. His last name was Baker. I know that part.
Wasn't it Buddy?
It was something along those lines.
Right?
It says that this is their long-teased Three Jokers story. Long-teased?
Buddy Fisher was his name. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. I'm going to send Buddy Fisher up there. He'll start dripping all over the comic book pages. Then you'll pay. It's my idea of muscle. It's the muscles in his forehead. to force sweat out. I never saw anybody sweat that much. I thought he was going to start seeing the organs coming out of his forehead. He's sweating so much. See blood start coming out.
Oh.
What?
We lost a caller that was holding on for an hour and 58 minutes, and I was gonna go to their call next, and they blew
it. They good?
I don't know. Mike screened him before the show. Might be them.
Who else we got?
Well, I'm gonna
let's do some calls, and I gotta wrap it up. I gotta get out of here. Forever Dog gonna lock me in. I don't want to be locked in overnight.
Line four.
Their new studios are nice. I think they're a little haunted. I want some podcast ghost getting me.
You're live on
the show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Nick in Pasadena.
Nick in Pasadena. What's up, Nick? You got something for the skin crawlers?
I do, yeah. I'm actually, I've been watching some basketball while I've been listening to this, I got to say, excellent show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Oh no, it's my pleasure. I gotta say the two of you, you and Mike, co-interviewing is really something special.
Wait, hold on a second. What's that now?
I hope you'll excuse me, Tom. With all due respect, I love you as an interviewer, but I did think that you and Mike had some real rapport there, and I just thought I had to say that.
Oh no, no, I'll take that. I'll take that. You sure?
Yeah.
No, we did it. Mike and I made it happen. We delivered.
I really wanted to encourage that, you know, more of that.
Well, I appreciate that. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call? What do you want to say?
Well yeah, no, I was watching basketball, and I have to say that what has been making my skin crawl over the last few days is seeing the total lack of attention to, you know, advisories against, you know, handshaking, high-fiving, daps, all this, you know, the entire game. And it just made me want to actually ask you what you thought about the discussion about there being a potential fan-free rest of the NBA season.
Oh, no, that'd be good. It would be like how it used to be going to Nets games. I would often go to Nets games, and at some point they would just be like, they would like, yeah, like I remember like one time Armand Gillian yelled up and asked if I wanted to come down and play.
And then
they let me put on Chris Morris's jersey.
Well, it actually makes me wonder too, like the extent to which they'll try to, you know, replicate the presence of a crowd, like how many, like how big the entourage for each team would be in this case.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are they going to do that?
It's being floated right now. LeBron James came out really hard against it. I think about, you know, 24 hours ago, saying like he wouldn't play if they had these games without a live audience. And then he I think was encouraged to walk that back. So today he said he would trust the experts and kind of follow the plan accordingly.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Do any celebrities have this coronavirus yet?
Something about a singer?
None that I'm aware of.
No. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm not. I think you got to have fans at the games. Look, if everybody washes their hands, right?
Tell that to us.
Wash your hands. Don't cough in people's faces.
Do you think everybody at the basketball game is washing their hands, Tom?
Yeah, I do.
No, they're not.
Well, I do.
I did my part to, help things. I worked a Devil's game, and there was a restroom with no paper towels, and I immediately went to somebody and told them.
That's well, good. Look, Mike, I'll say this: the word hero gets thrown around a fair amount, and it's been cheapened to some degree, but it's important in these times that when somebody actually does rise to the occasion, that we honor them.
Mike's the real Spider-Man.
So I salute you for the act of bravery you exhibited. I will say this. You got these people. Speaking of hero, I'm going to say it again. Be your own hero. You want to be a hero? It's hell right now. Hell times. This is it. You guys wanted Endgame. I want Endgame. What's Endgame? Well, guess what? It is Endgame. You got it. Except there ain't Batman ain't running around going to fight Thanos. Right? Last time I looked, Aquaman ain't going toe-to-toe with Captain America. Be your own hero. Help people. Got old people in your neighborhood? Help them out. Try to keep them away from the coronavirus. Get them some hand soap. Right? Ain't the worst thing in the world.
I completely agree.
Help them out. And if they're sweaty like that the dude on MacMillions, just make sure you wash your hands. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you, Tom.
Hang up on him. Who else we got? Any other calls?
Sure do. Got three more calls.
All right. These are the final three calls, and we're wrapping it up because Brent's got to go home.
All right. We're going
Best Show, hi.
Day mornings at 10.
Hold on 1 second. We're going to line three. You're on the air.
Best Show, hi.
Hi, this is Joe Grippo. How's it going, Tom?
Oh, it's going good. Is this Joe? Joe?
Yeah. Joe, Joey. I mean, we go way back, so you should know what to call me by now, right?
I call you sir. Right?
No, not tonight. Not tonight. You are the sir. This is the best show.
Now, who is this now?
This is Joe Grippo. Grippo.
And how do I know you, Joe?
You commented on a tweet of mine that was the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I could help you.
Yeah, you did. You always do.
Well, welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say?
I mean, I have one for the topic, for sure.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it, Joe.
I haven't been listening to the show. It's a tricky situation where I am right now. However, has anyone mentioned Mike Love tonight?
No. Nobody has.
Yeah, no, that's number one, man.
That what? That gives you the skin crawlers?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you a story. Today my dad came back. He plays cribbage semi-professionally, and he was in Reno for a tournament, and he came back.
The game on the Harry Potter game?
He plays Quidditch.
Now, which one is which? I'm confused now. What's your dad do?
My dad was a truck driver for over 30 years.
Okay.
But, but he, actually, I think he started playing cribbage when, he was.
What is cribbage? What is that? You play with what? Dominoes or dice? Cards?
You play with cards. You play with cards. You keep score with pegs. You have a collar. He's not a caller, but I believe he's called twice. A guy named Vinny. I play cribbage with him sometimes. Okay. anyway, so my dad was in Reno for a tournament, and there's a Beach Boys concert, and he's kind of hyping up this Beach Boys concert. Like for weeks leading up to his trip, and I'm like, shit, man, is this, are we getting Mike Love? Like, what is? Sorry,
watch your mouth. You watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Open your curse on the show like that?
No, I actually was not.
hang up on him. Hang up on him. Hang up. He toilet mouth. I just had a guy from the Columbo family on and kept it clean.
And you know, yeah, I wanted to mention about Doug Matthews again. He's cursing through the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think Edgar J. Hoover would have thought of that? He would have been on his ass.
What do I think? Yeah. What do I think Edgar J. Hoover would have said about it?
Yeah.
Edgar J. Hoover.
J. Hoover. All
right, you're out too. You're run. You flamed out quicker than I got sick of it faster than I would have thought, Mike.
I forgot his name.
You're out. Yeah. You're out for tonight.
I'd be out for that.
Yeah, you did it. You did it. You made your mark. I'm a little irked by you now.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Who else we got?
You're
run,
Beth.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Paige from Los Angeles.
Paige from Los Angeles. What's up, Paige?
I am making ribs and trying to learn how to crochet.
That's my favorite line from They Live. Oh, my God. I love that movie so much. I'm making ribs and trying to learn how to crochet, and I'm all out of ribs. You know who likes the movie They Live? Pat.
They Live?
They Live. Live.
They Live.
Can you hear me if I'm on speaker like this, or is it bad?
We try to get off speaker, please.
Okay. I turned it off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But stop making the ribs for 5 minutes. Or the little plant holder you're making. Whatever you're making with your crochet.
Trying to make a tail warmer for my cat.
A tail warmer? Your cat's got a cold tail?
No, I just think it would be funny to put it on him.
Well, let me say this.
I don't think he'll wear it.
There's a movie called They Live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it stars a wrestler, Rowdy Roddy Piper. It's a really good movie, and Pat loves it, and he formed a rock group that pays tribute to it called They Live.
Mm-hmm.
And they perform shows in character, and it's a good movie, and it's got a good fight scene in it, and people like it, and Pat loves it, so it's exciting. But the thing is, as much as Pat loves They Live, you know what he hates? The movie
what?
Drowning Mona.
And he also hates
Draft House. Alamo Draft House, because they shut him out. He tried to get into a movie, and it was a little late, and then they bounced him. They wouldn't let him in.
But I'm still willing to host, for charity, a screen of Drowning Mona with a Q&A at an Alamo Draft House. If any Best Show listeners out there can help me set that up, I will do it.
I love it.
I hope you succeed in that.
What would you do, Pat? Imagine this. Live at Alamo Draft House, a screening of They Live.
Mm-hmm.
John Carpenter, the director, is there.
Love it.
And he's going to be talking to people, but it's at Alamo Draft House.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I would go and, you know, I would get there early, I guess. But I would, my question to John Carpenter, I'd wait till the end of the film. And I'd wait to be the last question. And I'd say, Mr. Carpenter, I love your film. I love your catalog. I love your composing works. If someone showed up to tonight's screening and bought a ticket in advance and had trouble parking, do you think it would have been right to exclude them from this experience, being that they had a receipt and a paid ticket if they were 11 minutes late to this establishment? And I would love to hear his response.
You know what I would ask Mr. Carpenter? I'd say, Mr. Carpenter, how do I get an agent?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
That's a great question for anybody in the entertainment industry at a Q&A. Or I would ask him a question that was not a question, but was me talking at him and make him think it's a question, but it really was an exercise in me showing how intelligent I am. Another staple of the Q&A.
Or two non-questions back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Two statements back-to-back.
Two state, yes. Either how do I get representation? Here's one thing I'm going to say about that I observed, or here's two things. So,
what if I show up to this event and I dress in a suit and a Bluetooth earpiece and I wait towards the end and my question to John Carpenter is, hey, I'm an agent and I'm looking to represent people at Q&As who have zero to no experience.
Pat, you, I gotta say this, everyone on the Best Show staff is firing on all cylinders tonight. Mike is coming through, booking the guests. He got the guy from the couple from MacMillions, and now Pat's. That's an amazing idea.
I'm going to pitch it to Connor O'Malley. I think he would pull that off a lot better. It's kind of. I think that's a Connor O'Malley viral video right there. It's him in a suit, no tie,
yelling. Is he yelling?
He eventually yells. Yeah, he has a Bluetooth earpiece. And his Q&A question is that he's there. He's trying to figure out how he can represent strangers with zero showbiz experience who attend Q&As.
Oh, I love it. Now, Paige, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Is it still Positive Tuesday?
For you, Paige, yes.
Okay. So I got great news, and I got a thing that makes my skin crawl. They're separate, unrelated things. The great news is I resigned from my job, and I could not be more thrilled.
Okay.
Congrats.
Thank you. And the second thing is the skin crawling thing. You know the movie Black Panther?
Yes.
You know how the Michael B. Jordan skin has, like, the bumps on it?
Yes, because of the, yeah, uh-huh.
I cannot look at that. I cannot. I would love to watch the movie. I started watching it, and it was, like, interesting to me, and I was into it, and that I just can't look at this. I can't. It makes my skin crawl. It freaks me.
Okay.
It freaks me out so bad.
Well,
I can't even think about
Paige,
it.
What if you were to watch the movie, and it was in a new technology called Rub-A-Rama, where you watch the movie, and then different things are rubbed on your cheek. And one sensation is the Michael B. Jordan skin from the movie Black Panther.
No, the sensation actually doesn't bother me. Like, imagining that doesn't bother me. It's the visual aspect. Now, if somehow I could watch the movie where I didn't see it, but I only felt that sensation, I would probably enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. Well, Paige, I salute you.
Thanks.
Anything else you would like to add to tonight's program?
I also couldn't watch Cats. It really freaked me out. I had to turn it off.
Sure. It's upsetting.
And, slimy vegetables, like in this, if you leave it in the drawer for too long, ugh. They get slimy.
Oh my God. Yep. Well, you delivered. Thank you.
These are the things that keep me up at night. Have a great night, Tom. What a wonderful show.
Thank you. You have a great night.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Any other calls?
Lines are complete.
Like we're done.
Yeah, we got every call. No one left hanging.
Well, let's wrap it up so that Brent can get home. Everyone, Best Show, thank you again. For listening. It's a good show tonight. Another good one. We're heating back up. You feel it? You feel it, Mike?
When did we cool off?
We cooled off a little bit.
I don't remember.
We're heating back up, though. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Heating back up. Here we come. And I'm saying this. Here we come. Because you know what I got in me again?
The fire?
A little bit of the fire.
Yeah, love it.
A little bit of the anger.
The anger, yeah.
It's coming back. And I'm telling you right now, if you listen to this, and you're dumb, or you're a half-wit, or you're a fraud. And if you've been getting away with it, look out, Jack. Here comes the best show. Score's going to start getting even.
Going to turn over all the rocks, huh?
We're turning over all the rocks. As Geraldo Rivera once said, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Yeah.
And we will abide by him. Why don't you try to get him on the show, Mike?
Oh, God. What a slime ball.
I like him. No, I don't like him. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. Anything to plug, Pat?
Let's see. We have...
Mr. Joke's benefit?
Yes. I want to plug on March 29th at the Bell House. There's tickets still available. And we're going to have a cavalcade of stars, all friends of Steve, Mr. Jokes Whalen, at the Bell House doing jokes of his. Everyone will be coming out doing, I think, one joke each. A couple people doing a few different things, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be rapid fire. It'll be a great night, and we're going to put all the money together and have it go towards a donation of the family's choice. And so you could catch that at the Bell House on March 29th.
That's right. And I heard a little birdie told me somebody's going to be at the Planet X.
Oh, well, I just was. I was there.
You were. That happened. I thought that was this Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had one more week to plug it, but it was a great night. It was last Sunday. I was there with Nick Naney and Megan Keister. And I met a bunch of people who I had never seen before, and they were great. And everyone should go see Brett's show, Planet Sex at Planet X in Ridgewood. Yeah. It's a great new venue. It's a great new show. And Brett always brings a great show.
Now, Brett, what is Brett's last name again?
Davis, yeah.
Brett Davis, the host of Laundryman with Brent Dinklage, is really a major talent, and I am glad to have discovered him, nurtured him, cultivated him, curated him. It is an honor to consider him a peer now, after all those years, those formative years. Now he is a little birdie flying on his own. The little birdie's a big bird now, flying higher than me. Some might say.
He was booked on South by Southwest.
Mike? Yeah, he was. And that got canceled. Mike?
Yeah.
apmike.bandcamp.com, still flying high.
Still flying high. We're hauling in headshots.
Cameo coming soon.
Coming soon.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow. We got... Meet My Friends of Friends. New episodes going up. They stay up exclusive there for a while, and then they go public. I think the first ones from season 4 just went public, so those are out there. You get them anywhere over at thebestshow.net or whatever. But you support the show at patreon.com/thebestshow. And thanks for listening. Best Show will be back next week. We're coming for you. We're coming for you. We're coming for you. Bye.